At T-Mobile, we believe in putting people first by treating them right. So we've upped the benefits without upping the price. With Magenta Max, you get our best plan for 5G with unlimited premium data that can't slow down based on how much smartphone data you use. Plus, you'll pay zero cost to switch. And bring your phone. We'll pay it off up to $800. Only at T-Mobile.
Capable device required for 5G. Activate up to 4K or video streams at 480p. 40 gigs high-speed tethering. Up to $800 via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Support charges waived. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Minority Report's podcast and digital series. I am your host, Mona Sheikh, you guys. What's happening? We are it's so nice and hot outside that I'm wearing a dress. I was like, oh my God, it's 85 degrees today. It's 85 degrees. Thank God. Thank God for hot. Thank God for heat. However, I have my special guest today. Not only is he a dear friend, but he's also an incredibly talented producer and an incredibly talented director. And he's bringing on the heat because he recently came off directing a few episodes of The Blacklist. And we're going to talk to him about it. Here's my very talented friend, Mahesh Patlur. How are you?
Hey, Mona. I'm doing great.
Oh, man. So nice to see you.
Good to see you.
Man, congrats on The Blacklist.
Thank you. And congrats to you. On the
Thank
rookie,
you.
It's,
Thank
like,
you.
It's all happening now, which is great.
Slowly but surely, brown people are churning it into butter, churning it into butter, you know. Mahesh, how many, first of all, when were you shooting The Blacklist? When were you directing it and how many episodes?
Yeah, well, my first episode was actually last year and it was right before New York lockdown. So my last episode was like March, I think it ended March 12th or something like that. So
my God.
Yes, it was the last episode that like fully shot for The Blacklist. And then it shut down. And then I didn't work until about another month and a half ago when I went back for my next episode. Yes, so it's kind of crazy.
That's crazy. So this was your second episode.
Second episode. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. What is that like, Mahesh, as a South Asian director to, you know, walk on a primetime network and be the captain of the ship? What is that like?
So I think, you know, there's some misconception. Well, the way I look at directing too, it's not like you're necessarily this, the one all seeing person who's making all the decisions. There's so many people who are doing it and you're kind of a conduit. So, the way I always look at it, I mean, I'm a pretty collaborative person. So it's not like I'm walking on it's my way or the highway. So it's always, you know, working with everyone and trying to get the best out of people. That's what I do. So for me, it was just great. I mean, what I loved about being on The Blacklist, it was actually such a collaborative environment and everyone was excited. And I had shadowed on that show last year for like three episodes. So everyone knew who I was. Okay. Everyone wanted, you know, me to succeed. So it was a very like a welcoming environment. So that was great. I haven't been on a show where I didn't know anyone yet. That'll be the next step. But right now, so The Blacklist felt like going home, which is really nice.
That's awesome. I mean, Mahesh, when you show up on the set, is there any, I asked Sharath that because last week he was on as a director. And I wanted to ask you, is there a thing where it's just like, oh, there's a South Asian director versus there's just a director?
I mean, I definitely, I think I feel something for sure. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's even my name, you know, I'll notice that like no one will want to say my name, you know,
and
it takes a while and then sort of people get used to it, but I think people just don't want to mispronounce it or whatever it is, those kinds of things. But I noticed that, like, I'll know everyone's name. That's like part of my job, right? Is to like, just know. So I call everyone's name out. But I noticed they won't say my name back, which is always such an interesting thing. So there is that. But I think after, you know, once you start working and once you start a relationship with people, then everything kind of goes away. But the first, I think, perception, I think, who is this person? Where did they come from? And I think sometimes, like right now, is like, how did they get this job? Kind of comes into play.
Like, you sense that or somebody has said that and you've overheard them saying that?
I think because there is a sea change that's happening in the industry, right? And you can definitely feel it in television, right? Whether it's a mandate or I think it's just culturally, there are more opportunities for women directors, minority directors, that's happening. And so you're seeing these sets change, you know, maybe 5 years ago, it doesn't look like the set that it is today, you know? Sure. And I think that when you see, I think crews are seeing that happen and getting used to it. And a lot of these things happen because of, you know, there are mandates that happen at studios, but there's also like these, you know, directing programs that kind of help get you in. And so I think sometimes there's people look at you like, oh, how did you get this? Did you get in just because you're South Asian, you know, which is always, you know, a problem. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. You know, it's not like so I feel like I've earned it. But I think you get that too. You kind of feel that.
Yeah. I mean, Mahesh, how long have you been a producer and a director for?
Oh my goodness. Well, for a very long time. I mean, this is all I've ever done, for one thing. I mean, I've done, you know, just even since growing up, I mean, I always wanted to be a filmmaker. So I went to film school at NYU. I went to film school at the AFI here in LA. And then, you know, just been working. So this is, I don't know, years. I mean, we're talking like 20 years that I've been sort of like at this. Wow. You know, it's been a long time.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, Mahesh, now, just like you said, there's this big initiative, right? Studios have been called out. Networks have been called out. Shows are being called out to be like, hey, representation just doesn't matter in front of the camera. It also matters behind the camera. It matters in executive places, decision-making spots, right? Those are all big contributing factors. So for you, I mean, do you see a more influx of opportunities in the last 5 years, in the last 2 years? What are you thinking?
For me personally, it's definitely been the last like 2 years. And I, you know, again, I've been here for a long time, and it's, you can argue lots of different things or reasons why something doesn't propel you to the next stage. But let's say I made a feature film, this was a while ago, like 7 years ago, called Brahmin Bulls. That, you know, starred mainly South Asian actors. The lead was Sendhil Ramamurthy from Heroes, now on Never Have I Ever. Roshan Seth, who some people might know from Gandhi, incredible actor. But there's also Mary Steenburgen and Justin Bartha. So there's a bunch of actors. And, you know, that film, I think, didn't at that time, 7 years ago, didn't register the same way that I think it might today. So I don't know that I got the same kind of opportunities that today I have. So to answer your question, I think things have changed a lot in the last 2 to 3 years. You can see it happening just more and more. I mean, and your experience too. Like, I mean, you know, and the thing that's interesting for me too, it's like, and as you said, it's like in front of the camera and it's behind the camera, and it's a lot of the people who are making decisions, where you're seeing things happen and things are changing, and you can feel like, for me, it's not just representation, right? Like that's one thing. And we can talk about that too, because I remember just growing up, that was just not the case. You never saw brown faces on TV, and that obviously has an effect on all of us. But now too, I just feel like even on a set, like, and I'll just bring up the example. It's like on even the Blacklist, it's just, you see a change in terms of, you know, it's a more ingratiating, warmer set, that, and not because of me, but you know, there are more women that are in positions of power on the show. Even as an example, it's like, you know, everyone can kind of understand this. It's like, you know, working in production are long days. You know, it's a hard job.
That's
for a lot
of
people.
That's right.
But, you know, because one of the producers, like, one of her priorities is that, you know, people also have a life. So, you know, you try to wrap early, you get people home so they can spend time with their families, and people appreciate that. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, we can do both. And I don't think you see any kind of, you know, there's nothing lacking in the show. We still make a great show, and people still go home to see their families. So that's a great thing to do. And so because of that, I think there's a cultural shift that's happening. And that wasn't the case probably 10 years ago. You know, people would just be working nonstop. So anyway, that's just one example.
I mean, Mahesh, when I did, you know, I was shooting for One Day on The Rookie, but I was like, man, I can't imagine waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning, 5 days a week, and doing this. I mean, this is exhausting. I never take naps. I took a nap in my trailer, and I was like, what is going on? Like, I'm taking a nap. I never take naps. I can never shut off this Japanese game show in my head. I could just never just turn it off. Have you ever seen Japanese game show? There's so much going on. That's my brain, you know? And I'm like, oh,
I didn't see that. Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh my god! And I was like, I was exhausted, and I was like, man, how do people do this? I mean, why would you work in production? I mean, this is exhausting.
That's hard.
You know, Manish, I was thinking about this, you know, on screen and when you see stuff on television or film, and like for you directing, you know, episodes of The Blacklist, you know, people see that and they're like, wow, that's a sexy job. Ooh, that's hot. That's sexy. But people don't really understand. Just like you said, 20 years got put in for you to go and get that gig, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in this business for well over 15 years. It's taken me this long to start getting these breaks.
Yeah.
Like, the behind the scenes is so unsexy that people get lost in the on-screen sexiness. Do you think?
100%. Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard job, and it's a hard lifestyle. You know, like everything that we kind of go through, it is that roller coaster. Sometimes you're working, sometimes you're not, and you have to navigate that.
That's right.
And we're all dreamers, right? We all have that dream of what we want to do. And it's sometimes you go pretty far off that path. Sometimes you get closer to it, but it's a harder thing that I think we navigate. Cause there's no path, right? There's no like,
that's right.
There's no one way to do it. It's not like we, you know, I mean, so many other jobs are hard too. And, you know, but like, you know, there might be, oh, you go to med school, you do a residency, and then, you know, we don't have that. You know, it's like we just have an idea or dream, and then we kind of go for it, and then,
right.
And sometimes it doesn't work out, you know, and that's the hard thing, you know.
That's right. There's no guarantee. Like, if you go to school for becoming a doctor, an engineer, a lawyer, there's a guarantee that you will get a job at the end of those years.
Yeah.
There is no guarantee that Mahesh Palooi can put in 20 years and Mona Sheikh can put in 20 years and then there'll be a career waiting for us.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Zero guarantee. Yeah, zero net. And I think a lot of people, you know, who are also of our cultural background, think that this is like some kind of like sexy thing. Like, oh yeah, like people think that stand-up comedy, you just get up there and you just start running your mouth. It's like, yeah, you can. Doesn't mean it's funny. Doesn't mean it's hilarious. Doesn't mean it's entertaining. You can get up and run your mouth all you want. You know, it doesn't mean you're a stand-up. And I think it's the same thing. Like, you know, oh, how did Mahesh get that job as a director? He put in 20 fucking years of his life in it. That's how he got that job. You know, he's an experienced director. I mean, Mahesh, even I think the first time you and I met, and you know, you did the documentary on me, the mini doc that you did.
Yeah.
It was so lovely. First of all, it has been just such a pleasure ever since day one that I've known you. You are just such a kind, generous, lovely, understanding, collaborative, not only just a director, but a person, you know, and I've always just admired you and respected you so much. And
likewise, Mona.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. You know, I feel like when I talk to you, there is no, there's this real, you know, groundedness, and there's this humbleness to you. Do you think it just comes from years and years of like struggle, or you're just like, yeah, I don't have any airs about this, what I do anymore. I just,
yeah, don't, you know? I mean, I definitely that, but I also think it's part of our makeup, in the sense for me. I mean, it's like it's being an outsider always, right?
Yes.
It's like, you know,
yes,
you know, I grew up in Maine, which is, you know, a very, you know, it's the whitest state in the country. It's like we were the only minority, in our town. And so it's like, and not that there was any, like, I felt like real outward discrimination or anything like that, but you always feel like an outsider, just personally, your own self, your own, you know, and I think, that is probably where a lot of it just comes from.
Right.
Know?
It just, I mean, there's a level of, I think this business will humble you unless you got lucky and, you know, had your mom release a sex tape for you. If you don't have that, everybody else has to just get in the back of the line and work or create an OnlyFans account. You know, that's also a thing that's happening now, apparently. But I think this business is just so hard and difficult. I mean, Mahesh, when you started out, and I know I ask this question to a lot of my South Asian artists, but was that a thing for your parents to be like, oh my God, you're going to go to film school? Like, there's no guarantee in that. There's no net in that. Why would you do that?
Well, I will say, I think, you know, I do have very supportive parents. And
awesome.
So they do run a little bit different than the sort of stereotype of other South Asian parents. But I would say, you know, definitely my mom's a doctor. My dad is, he was an entrepreneur in business. So they definitely had a feeling about, and they didn't have an understanding of what the entertainment industry is like. And so definitely more for my mom, I think she was more concerned about like, what is this going to be? Are you going to have a job when you get out? She was right. I didn't, right? When I got out. So it's like, she's right. But I think they were also very supportive too, because they saw me from an early age, and I was one of those kids who had a video camera, you know, at age like 10 or 12, you know. I remember my dad brought home a video camera that he was going to use, but he never touched it. It was just me. Yeah. And so I was always making something, and I always wanted to do it. So I think they saw that I was just passionate about it. And I think they knew that if that's what I really wanted to do and I kept doing it, then I think they were supportive. So that was what was great. But it was also hard too, like I said, just because there was definitely at that time, there was no model for South Asians, definitely, like in our community, to say, oh, this person made it, and you can kind of do something similar to them. There was no model, so they didn't know what to say. And then the reality was that there's no path. It's really hard. So then, you know, yeah, it was definitely hard for them.
Right. Sure. I mean, you know, as artists, Mahesh, and, you know, we do all kinds of odd jobs. I mean, as I can tell you as a stand-up and as an actor, like, you know, waiting tables or doing odd office job. I mean, is that kind of the same path and journey for directors?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Producers? I mean, a little bit different. I mean, for me, like that sort of odd job ended up being a lot of like corporate shoots and things like that, where, you know, I would, you'd be off somewhere shooting at some plumber's conference, you know, like something like that, you know, where it's work, it's paying money, but at the same time, it's like, you're so far off. And we talk about like that dream, you're so off path from what you want to do. But you know, that's for my path, that's sort of been the detours that I've taken, whether it's like working in reality TV or like web content that way, or more of like the corporate kind of video branded shoot stuff. That's sort of the odd jobs for me.
Right. You know. I mean, you met your wife in film school, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, was she already living in America, or was she had come from India to go to film school?
Well, so Anu is like me. So she grew up, she was born and raised in the US.
Okay.
She grew up in the US. She grew up in Illinois. But you know, similarly, like, you know, growing up, she did not see any role models, or we never saw any, you know, on TV. So she was an actor, and she looked around and she said, I don't know, I don't see a path for me. And this is, you know, many years ago, but it was like, there wasn't a path. So she decided to go to India. And so she went to India, and she found some success there. So she was working there as an actor, but I think, but she was far from home. And she realized that, like, she wanted to come back, and she also had an affinity for the stuff behind the camera instead of being in front of the camera. So then she wanted to be a director. So she went to AFI as well. So that's where we met. So she had been living in India for about 5 years, but she's American too.
I mean, when you guys saw each other in class, you were like, oh, brown person.
Well, it is. Yeah. You're the other brown person. I mean, we didn't date while we were in school. I mean, we definitely respected each other's work. And that was always a thing. But yeah, it's funny, cause like we were it's in the directing class, we were only two Indians, the South Asians, in our class. So we definitely like gravitated toward each other's work that way, which was interesting.
Yeah. Because you guys are also probably telling similar stories. You're also telling stories you can relate to each other.
Yeah, definitely to an extent. I mean, we definitely had similar things that sort of a sensibility. And we, since, you know, we also work together now professionally, like we wrote our feature film together. We've written other scripts together. So we do that. I mean, and I think we find that we do share a sensibility. It's like just how we get at it that's different. But it's definitely true that we definitely.
I mean, Mahesh, I would have to bring Anu on and talk to her, but Jesus, you know, not to get into the darkness of this business, but you know, in America, we have unions. We have SAG-AFTRA, we have PGA, DGA, you know, and you still have the likes of, you know, Harvey Weinstein and all these predators. I cannot imagine what it is like to be an actress in Bollywood where there are no unions, like whatsoever. There is like literally no protection for an actress. Like for an actor, you're a male, so maybe you have a little bit more of a protection. But as a female, you're like out just, you know, like fending off fucking wolves. Like, has Anu ever talked to you about that?
I think things have changed in India too, right? There's like, you know, a different kind of tenor of how people work there. But you're absolutely right. I mean, this is, you know, it was pretty bad in the past. But for Anu, I mean, you'd have to speak to her specifically, but she never had anything, you know, overt happen to her. But it was an environment where it's out there for sure.
Right. Right. I mean, if, you know, who would have thought an overweight, ugly producer would be creepy like Harvey Weinstein? I mean, who would have thunk that? My God, he's like so hot to not look at. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Mesh, now that, you know, you've directed Blacklist, are there, are you seeing more opportunities coming up for you where just you're like, oh, because I saw you direct that, Mahesh, why don't you come and direct this other TV show, or why don't you come and direct this film?
Yeah, I mean, well, definitely, you know, there are a number of like films that I'm working on, so that definitely helps there. I mean, television, I think this is just sort of the beginning. I mean, I've only directed this one show, and we'll see. I think like now is the time where things are starting to open up a little bit, so we'll see if I can start navigating and getting onto other shows. I mean, the other thing you learn too is that every one of these things, whether it's feature films or TV, and then that's network TV and cable TV, they're all these little, you know, pockets that you have to kind of navigate. Right. So yeah, I think so. I hope so. But it's sort of just the beginning of it for me in terms of network TV.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Mahesh, you said that when you were younger, you were the only one picking up the camera and, you know, making videos and stuff. I mean, do you still have those videos? And B, what got you even interested in it? Were you a kid that would sit in front of TV and be like, oh my God, how cool would it be to be a director or go like this? You know, because that's what directors
I mean, it's a really great, I mean, I do have those videos still, but I love movies just from an early age for sure. Like Star Wars, you know, I was always watching those kinds of things, but, and I don't really have an answer of like why I gravitated toward it. It just made sense to me. You know, I think just that visual language, there was something like interesting and it just pulled me. So the second I remember like the first thing I shot with, you know, running around the house with the camera, and it's just like, it felt natural and felt like something that I wanted. But I think like for me, honestly, it was part of the journey or the desire to be a filmmaker. One of it was, yes, it just felt natural. But the other thing was, I think it helped me, in that sense of feeling like an outsider. You know, I remember there were like two films that really like sort of changed my life and made me say, oh, this is what I want to do. And the first one was Do the Right Thing, directed by Spike Lee. Have you seen it?
Hell yeah.
Okay. Amazing film. And it still, you know, holds up today, right? It's talking about everything we're dealing with. But the thing about that movie is I was way too young to see the movie when it came out. Right. I was too young to see it. And it was also, I grew up in Maine, and I don't even know if the movie played there in Maine. Mm-hmm. But what blew my mind was that I knew about the movie and I knew who the director was, and I didn't even see the movie. And so then there was this power that I saw was happening. There's this person who had a point of view and who was able to tell it in this big way. And, you know, he was also talking about his community. And, you know, I wasn't seeing that on TV. I wasn't seeing that in movies. And this person was able to do that. So that was definitely like a point where I felt like, oh, if he can do that, maybe I can do that. And that's what I would love to do. And then the second movie, there was a movie called Salaam Bombay. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah. Like her first, Mira Nair's first film. And it's about street children in Bombay. Right. Mm-hmm. And I remember
that's a Mira Nair film.
Yeah. And I remember it was like my high school English teacher that played it in our class. Right. And it was so fascinating because it's a class. Everyone's white except for me. And we're watching this movie about street children in Bombay in Hindi. Right. And I remember watching it and feeling a connection to those characters on TV and looking around the room and realizing, you know, I felt more of a connection to them than I did to the people around me. And what's crazy about it is I did not grow up on the street in Bombay, right? I'm so far removed from that. I grew up in a small town in Maine, right? So like my existence is completely different, but I still had an affinity and a connection to them. And that just made me even more want to tell stories about people that look like us. And so I think those are the two things that just made me say, hey, I want to make films. I want to do this. And so that was what led me to NYU, because that's where Spike Lee went. And so that's where I wanted to go. And so that's sort of, I think, the beginning of like really when I wanted to be a director.
I mean, I wonder if the kids in class were just like, my anxious dad, is that one of your cousins up there? What's going on?
Maybe. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they felt about it, but I was so moved by the story and the characters.
Yeah.
But so much of it was that it was set in Bombay, and I had not seen characters that looked like me on screen, even though I was never a street kid in Bombay. But but seeing someone brown on TV was such a powerful thing.
Yes.
But then it just was like, okay, I think I want to do that. So that's what I've been doing and trying to do. In my own personal work, obviously not the Blacklist, but my personal work has always been about telling stories with South Asians.
I mean, Mahesh, do you, you know, this affinity that you talk about, the storytelling part about, I want to tell stories. Do you feel, you know, when Slumdog came out, Slumdog Millionaire, even Salaam, you know, Salaam Bombay, have you felt like whenever there are movies that come out that are about South Asians or South Asian culture, but directed by white directors?
Yeah.
If it's a South Asian topic and a South Asian premise directed by a white director, it would get more notoriety, more appearance versus a brown film made by brown people.
Right. Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Well, Slumdog's an interesting example, because there's definitely that that foreign gaze that happens, right? Which is an outsider looking at something versus someone who's on the inside. We're talking about being an outsider, and that Danny Boyle is definitely an outsider. He's coming in.
And don't get me wrong, really well done movie.
No, yeah, I love the movie. Really well done. Yeah. But it's definitely a different point of view looking at the story. I don't know. Like, it's hard to say. I mean, that film, you know, more people saw that movie because he was the one that made it. I will say this though. I think, which has been interesting, is just like watching Bollywood films and Western films. And for a long time, I think, you know, there really was because even for me, I didn't grow up watching Bollywood films. I watched.
That's right.
Hollywood films. I watched American films. And so watching Bollywood films, I never totally connected, you know, and I always wondered why. It's like, why can't I not connect to this? Mm-hmm. And then I realized that there's just it's a different language of cinema. It's just like, you know, speaking English or Hindi it's a different way of telling a story. It's a different type of storytelling. Whether it's even the way it's shot, the music, anything about it, it's just a different language. And now things are changing. Now you see, so many filmmakers in India have come to the U.S. Everyone watches everything. That now that divide is changing. So you can watch stuff there now, or I do, that feels like my language or feels like a hybrid.
Yes.
And now it gets more exciting. And so like I watch things that I love coming out of India. That are not
me too.
Bollywood,
me too.
You know.
Yes, because they don't have the sing. Not that I love the singing dancing numbers. Don't get me wrong. I love them. I grew up on them. But
it's not just that. Yeah,
it's not just that. They really focus on the writing. They really focus on telling the story. You know, they're not these two dimensional characters. These are the multi dimensional characters that are flawed, but you still feel an affinity to them, and you're like, oh, I feel you, but you're also flawed, and I love this, but that's also so fucked up about you, and I love the complexity because human beings are complex creatures. I don't care what race you. You know, people always talk about like, oh, you know, being white or brown or black. But if you really just kind of do this aerial shot of humanity, it's just people going about trying to meet their needs. That's it. That's it. Absolutely. Like, it's the human race. Like, just the aerial shot of it. It's just like, we may look around and be like, I'm brown, I'm white, I'm black, I'm whatever, right? But the aerial shot is people are just waking up every day trying to put food in their stomachs, you know, roof over their heads, find happiness and find security. That's it. Yeah. You know, unless you're Osama bin Laden, then fuck that guy. But besides that, you know, most people are looking for happiness and just trying to meet their needs. Harpreet here. Hi, Harpreet. She has a question. She said, I'm listening from the point of view of design thinking, Mahesh, since you learned by experience of filming first as a kid and then going into the technicalities of it as an adult. Do you think you still follow that process when engaging with a new project? Experience before technical understanding?
Good question. Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, it's always those things. You start out something just by trying, right? And it is just, you learn by experience.
Yeah.
And then, in my case, you know, it's like, you go to, let's like film school. I went to a lot of film school. And so you have like a sort of training of a craft, right? And so you learn that. And then the goal though after is to kind of forget about that craft and to kind of go back to the sort of the experience of it that you had growing up, even though now you have all these other tools underneath you. So right now that's my goal. It's like, I don't want to like think about, oh, do we need to be in a close-up now or not? It's, I know about that, but it's something that's sort of based more in how I was making films before, just trying to experience something or just trying to go off a feeling or a gut instinct about something. Right. I don't know if that can totally answer, but that's sort of the way I think about it. Right.
I mean, Mahesh, would you go to India and do a project? Like, would you go and make a movie there?
Absolutely. I would love to. My wife, I know she has a project that she's developing there.
Oh, that's great.
And I mean, there's just so many exciting things that happen back and forth. And I think, you know, we're all global, you know, global citizens, right? We want to tell stories. Yeah. And I think I would love to go to India. And I have a project that's set there and here. Yeah. And I'm really interested in that bridge from both places. So, yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. Harpreet has a follow-up question. Mm-hmm. She said, does it help to create a better narrative through first interacting with the subject before learning about it intellectually?
Oh, I don't know. I think you could do either. That's a good
Harpreet's
question.
Harpreet's like throwing these curveballs.
I know. These are great questions.
Harpreet is thinking this through.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. I don't know that there's a better way. I don't know that there is. But I think it's whatever inspires you. Because for some people, it is like more of an intellectual pursuit. Mm-hmm. And others, it is more through experience or interacting. So, yeah, I mean, and I've done both, right? Like maybe there's like a concept or an idea that's, you know, I'm fascinated by, which leads you to kind of creating something. Right. Versus the other thing, which is like maybe it's an experience that I went through that then leads in you to create something. So yeah, I think it's kind of both. That's what's fun about it.
Yeah.
Great question.
I mean, Mahesh, what is it like to be married to another director?
It's challenging at times because we both have egos, right? That's the biggest thing, right?
Listen, you know what, man? Kudos to you for saying that. Kudos to you for being so honest about that.
But yeah, no, I think it's challenging at times, but it's also like so rewarding too, because we both understand what this lifestyle is, what this job is. And so it's like the best way that we can kind of lean on each other. We, you know, if Anu has something, I read it, I give her notes. She does the same thing for me. And we can also work together or not work together. So it's great that way. But it is challenging in terms of a lifestyle because we're both in the same roller coaster thing.
Yeah.
And it's also difficult. And we also have two kids. And, you know, and I think Anu would probably say it now, too. You know, it's just been harder for her, too, in certain ways. Just
sure.
The way, you know, in terms of opportunities and all those kinds of things. So we have to, we're figuring it out, trying to see how we do it. But
yeah. I mean, for you, like, you know, you guys both have your hands full with the kids and your careers. So in a way, like, does Anu have to kind of take a seat back a little bit because she has to be home with the kids and just kind of put her projects on hold for a little bit until you get done with yours? And then she hands the kids off to you. And then she does, you know, you guys like do a relay.
Yeah.
Like, kids.
Unfortunately, it ends up happening that way, you know, and in the sense that, like, you know, we have a 1 year old now. So, like, you know, the first year of his life, you know, she's really been with him and taking care of him. And there are certain aspects of that that I think would have been more challenging for me to do. Yeah. And also, there's maybe, like, let's say this television route has been an opportunity for me. So those things happen. But now she may have an opportunity to develop a show of her own in India. And so, like, yeah, this trade-off will start to happen, you know, that we have to sort of navigate and figure out. But yeah, I think, you know, that's the unfortunate part of it, you know, and I think we fall into it where sometimes, you know, Anu will be with the kids sometimes more than I am. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have to figure that out and change that in ways so that she has the opportunities too. But it's been difficult, you know, for sure.
Right, right. I mean, you know, this business is so difficult as it is. And then adding the kids factor to it, it has its own sets of challenges. But, you know, then you ask yourself, you're like, you know, I've asked myself this. I'm just like, you know, do I want children or do I want happiness? I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. I'm totally kidding. I love kids. I really do. But I think for me, as artists, especially as women, for us, we have a biological clock, right? My biological clock is going to stop ticking, you know, pretty soon, right? I give it another 10 years and it's going to stop ticking. And that's fine. Let them fucking rot. Who cares? But, you know, that being said, I mean, you know, I think in terms of, like, where I sit, even as an actor, even as a stand-up comic, and I look at the opportunities that are given to a lot of, you know, young male comics versus what would be given to me or offered to me, versus what would be offered to a white female comic versus what will be given to me. And I think in terms of, I'm just like, wow, like, dudes can have kids till they're 85. Yeah. So, yeah. Like, just wait it out. Like, my ovaries are rotting now. Like, let me achieve some kind of success so I can, like, pay for these friggin' diapers. Because you can, like, have a child when you're, like, 90. So, like, let me have those opportunities. Am I wrong in thinking this, Mahesh?
Well, I mean, no, you're not wrong. In the sense that, you know, people are trying to change this, right? And you see it happening. You know, and again, this is like just a thing where you see more women in positions of power. Like, whether it's, you know, I have a friend who's a DP who is bringing her daughter to set to nurse. You know, and then I, you know, there's other friends who I know who have a program where there's a trailer for on set for childcare, so you can bring your kids, because that's a huge problem, right? If we don't have childcare, like. Then you fall into these traps of gender roles where it's like, oh, well, is my wife going to stay home with the kids and I'll go to work? You know, which is really hard. But if we can change that, where, okay, well, you can bring the kid, we can bring kids, our kids to work. They can be in the trailer. You know, I can do that. She can do that. We can both work. So I think those things are there. People are trying to change it, but it's a big hurdle that is still out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I forget. I think it was Guardians of the Galaxy. Zoe Saldana was shooting it.
Yeah.
You know who she is, right? The actress. Yeah. And she talked about it in an interview where she was like, my agent went and had to go and fight for childcare.
Yeah.
For the studio to pay for childcare. She's like, how am I supposed to go to work as a working mom when I don't have childcare? I mean, why should I have to pay out of pocket for it when I can just bring my kid on set with childcare, you know?
And it makes you happier. I mean, right? You know, I think that's the other thing. It's like, I think if we change that environment, whether it's on sets and things like that, I mean, it's better for everyone. And it's not just
for the ones going above and beyond, for the ones reaching out, helping out, and lending a hand, for the ones people count on. You can count on Grainger. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 customer support and specialists to help with hard-to-find products. Because you've got everyone's back. We've got yours. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At T-Mobile, we believe in putting people first by treating them right. So we've upped the benefits without upping the price. With Magenta Max, you get our best plan for 5G with unlimited premium data that can't slow down based on how much smartphone data you use. Plus, you'll pay zero cost to switch. And bring your phone. We'll pay it off up to $800. Only at T-Mobile.
Capable device required for 5G. Activate up to 4K or video streams at 480p. 40 gigs high-speed tethering. Up to $800 via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Support charges waived. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Directors and actors, it's like the crew, you know, like if you, again, if you have more time with your family and you have more time, it's better for everybody. It's better for you as an artist. It's better for you. It's all those things. Right. It's safer, you know, it's all, right. It's all, I don't know why. Yeah. I think it has to change. It is moving in that direction very slowly.
Yeah.
But I think people realize that but it'll only change when there are more women who are in positions of power who are making these decisions. So that has to happen. That will happen.
But, right. Yeah. Right. Right. Hatpreet has a question. She said, do you approach new projects with a focus on the question or problem to be solved? Or do you look at it as a way to present solutions that you want to disseminate? Looking at your completed projects, which ones were more impactful or met your objective? The problem focused or solution presentation?
Okay. Wow.
These are extensive. Like
these are great questions. I guess I don't approach it from if there's like a problem to solve. I guess I don't think of it that way. You know, sometimes I think, and maybe this is the same way to get at your question, but people talk about, you know, do you start with a theme when you work on a project, or does the theme come later? And for me, it's always later. I think about character and then circumstance and then actions, and then they define what the theme is. And then it's almost like they define what the quote unquote lesson is, or the, you know, or the solution to a problem. But I don't start usually with a problem, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because
your projects are very character driven.
They're character, yeah. So that's true. So most of them are character driven. So that is definitely that. And those are the projects that I like too. So yeah, so that's sort of how I come to things.
I mean, Mahesh, are you gonna take Brahmin Bowls back out, like take it to Amazon or Netflix and be like, hey, I made this project.
We did a virtual screening at a festival recently, like a few weeks ago. And it's been a long time since we screened the movie. And it was sort of an interesting thing. It was like, you know, eight years since we made the movie, right? So, and we did like a virtual screening at this festival, South Asian Film Festival of America. And what was great about it is that, you know, watching the film, and I think with the virtual audience, you know, the film still holds up. And I think it also, you know, I think a lot of people were like, oh, I didn't know that it was made 8 years ago. It kind of feels still relevant today. So I think we will try, you know, I think we will try to do something if we can. But it's, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think there are more opportunities now to get a film out than what it was 8 years ago. So sure. I'd be excited to see what that is. But it's interesting. I hope so. I would love to have more people see the movie because I don't.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't able to get the distribution that we wanted then.
Yeah. I mean, Mahesh, what is it like behind the scenes? Like being in your position, being a producer, director, like, is it supportive even among other South Asian directors and producers? Are you guys very much like, hey, I'm working on this project. Hey, man, you know, oh, I'd love to come and work. Or, hey, let me connect you to so-and-so. Is it like that level of camaraderie? Because God knows on camera, it can get a little bit challenging, right? People get very competitive. People are like, oh, I don't want to tell this person. But what is it like behind the cameras?
It's a little bit of both. But I think, again, this thing is changing. And I noticed it happen where, you know, like I've been doing this for a long time. And I feel like for a long time, I felt like, oh, I'm alone on this little island, you know, and I'd look out and every once in a while, I'd see someone else who's also South Asian. Let's say Sharath, right? Sharath is another one. We're the same age. And like, he's on another island over there, you know, and I think for a long time, it was like this thing where we were kind of separate, trying to do some things. And then that can sometimes be competitive in the way that like, oh, if they have an opportunity, then I'm not going to get an opportunity. That kind of feeling could happen. But I think the truth is that that's not really the reality. And I think what I'm seeing now, and this is what was great about even this film festival, is because it was just seeing all of the South Asian talent. There's so many filmmakers that, and we're all out here trying to make it. Some of us are making it now, that it's like more and more of us are coming together to work on each other's stuff. So for instance, you know, as of, you know, like, I don't know, a week and a half ago, I had, you know, I had a Zoom meeting with some two producers who are interested in a project that I'm doing, along with a collaborator that I'm working on. So it's four brown people on a screen, you know, and these were producers to make a movie. And these are people that I knew about. These are people that I knew, you know, but finally, like, we're coming together to work on something. So I think that's happening more and more now, because it's empowering, you know. I mean, you see that happening in other communities, you know, and I think within our South Asian community, it hasn't quite happened, but it's happening now, I hope. Mm. And you're starting to see it. You're starting to see, like, other projects happen and people kind of come together. So yeah. I hope it stops being, because it's not, you know, that the, you know, rising tide raises all ships. I think that's right. Totally true, you
right.
know.
Right.
And there are more opportunities if more of us make it. I think that finally is happening, or the idea has shifted so that is happening. At least I hope.
Yeah. I mean, you know what it is, Mahesh? I mean, do you feel like, you know, when you write projects and you bring them to studios and networks, is there, you know, I feel sometimes, not sometimes, I think a lot of times, that when stories of, mostly because it's been predominantly white actors and white stories and, you know, white narrative. I love white people. You know, I don't have anything against white people.
Me too.
I think the point that I'm trying to make is that the fact that you feel like Hollywood executives put more value of that it's a more human or a more mainstream story if it is all white people versus, you know, a diverse cast or the lead is a brown or a black person, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think that is changing. Probably was that was the case for sure. You know, 5-10 years ago, you know, definitely. But now, and then you can argue like it comes down to, you know, money, you know, so where are the audiences? Who's watching stuff and who's paying for it? And we're becoming,
look at Crazy Woke Asians, right?
Yeah.
Totally. Like, oh, there's no money. Crazy Woke there's Asians, no, like, broke exactly. box office, didn't it? Exactly. Like, made a shit ton of money.
Exactly. Look at Black Panther, right? It's like any of these movies, and all of a sudden, the floodgates open. It's like, oh, there's an audience there. Okay, so now we can, So it follows the money, of course, but that is happening. But it's also like you look in television, right? Over the last 5 to 7 years, you would see like in every show, there is a South Asian character, right? They're always like a secondary or third character. They're not the main character.
Sure.
In the show about doctors, they are somewhere else on the side, right? They're not the main character. But why is that? And part of that is, well, there's a South Asian, you know, audience that's buying BMWs and Mercedes, so they're paying for that, right? And so now I think that that's changing. You're going to see more and more, and you see it like with shows like Never Have I Ever, which is really popular.
Sure, Mindy had to create that. Nobody was going to give Mindy the Mindy project.
That up. She worked. Yep,
Mindy worked her ass off. I have so much respect for Mindy.
I do too.
She's incredible what she's done. Yeah. No, but I think, and the only reason that she was able to even do something like Never Have I Ever and have this incredible brown cast in the show as well, I mean, that's because she built that for herself.
No, absolutely, 100%. And she, you know, she's like one of the people at the forefront, right? So it's the hardest thing for that, right, for her. She made that happen. And now it's, I wouldn't say easier, but there are avenues now for other people. I mean, and other people like Nisha Ganatra, I don't know if you know her.
Love Nisha.
She's like another, you know, she's been at it for a long time, right?
That's right.
Now she's at a point where, you know, she can create shows, and she is. And so she's making shows with South Asians as leads, you know, and studios are looking to her. So, it's not like they were the ones that like broke down these doors. They're the ones that are doing it. But it is changing. I do think like now people are more receptive and more open to having stories that are diverse. I mean, let's say Brahmin Bulls. I remember like just going to pitch that kind of a movie, and it's Brahmin Bulls. I mean, other than the title, it's not an Indian film. It's a story about fathers and sons. It's about, you know, long lost loves. It's very universal. It's set in LA. So there's nothing like specifically Indian about it, other than the fact that the leads are Indian.
Sure.
But that was like definitely like, you know, if you went to pitch to someone, why do they have to be Indian? That was like, you know, a main question. And the truth was like, well, they don't have to be, but they are. You know, like that's the value.
But I guess the same question could be posed then, why does the lead of that show has to be white?
Totally. Yeah. Well,
I mean, it goes both ways, right? Yeah.
And that's what's changing now is I think, and even to flip, I think they want it. You know, and again, that is following maybe the money or the time, but it is now there's like, there better be, you know, someone who's diverse in the cast. And, but hopefully now the shift is even not just as a secondary character or third character, it's now the lead.
Yeah.
Do you think
Mahesh, it has something to do with, I mean, I think it definitely, stereotypes definitely play a role in it. However, do you think there's also this thing where all brown people are this way? They're just all these people, all black people are this way, all brown people are this way, all Asian people are this way. Yeah. So it removes that individuality. Totally. So then you're just like, oh, every brown person, you know, loves spicy food. Well, I have tons of brown people who don't like spicy food, right? This is a stupid, silly topical example. But do you think it has to do with not looking at us as individuals and recognizing our humanity rather than lumping us and brushing us with one giant stroke?
100%. That's exactly what it is. Until you move beyond that, then it becomes stereotypical, right? That's what we, you know, have seen for so long. But yeah, we're not a monolith. I mean, like, I didn't know very many Indians from Maine. You know, that's, you know, like we're all individuals. We're all very different. I mean, your story, Mona, is so different from, you know, it's like, and I think that's hopefully that's what we get to. I think we're starting to see that more and more with South Asian films, Asian films. You know, it's like moving beyond stereotypes for sure.
Right.
And now we're becoming more individuals, more people.
Yeah, yeah. James has a question. He said, was the episode Mahesh directed the one that was interrupted by the lockdown and they used animation to fill in missing scenes or the previous one?
Good question, James. Yeah. No, my episode was, what happened was my episode was the last episode to fully film. But it was an episode that, was a little bit different from the main narrative of the story. So they couldn't use it as the finale. It had to like air earlier. So my episode was it was the last full one to shoot, but it was the third to last to air. So, it was episode 717 that had, Anthony Michael Hall in it. So it was a very different episode for The Blacklist, but it was
Dexter? Dexter was in it?
No, not Dexter. Anthony Michael Hall, he was like in Breakfast Club and like all these, you know, great 80s movies and wonderful actor.
Okay. Awesome. I mean, do you ever get kind of starstruck when you get on and you're just like, "Oh my god, I grew up watching this guy and now I have to direct him. This is madness."
Well, even, you know, so James Spader, I love James Spader. He's an amazing actor, you know, and he's been
films
that I love.
He's so great.
It's like, it's interesting to be on set. It's intimidating at first because you're like, well, he knows what he's doing. He's been around for a long time. Am I going to be able to give him any notes? But then, you know, you realize pretty quickly, though, it's like, as long as I'm engaged in the story and I'm coming from it from the story perspective, I mean, that's what everyone wants. And that's what everyone wants to make a better episode, a better show. I mean, he was totally receptive to me. You know, we had great conversations. And so then, you know, that intimidation quickly goes out the window, but definitely at first, because you're like, oh, what am I going to say to this guy? You know?
Right.
He's been around
doing this for a lot longer than I have.
Yeah. And he knows that character way better than I do. What am I going to say then? But, but then you find the language and then, there are things that help. What's it, James Spiderman? Yeah, no, he's amazing. And there's a reason why. He's just, you know, you watch him work and he's such an incredible presence. And he's an incredible actor.
If I'm not mistaken, James Spader briefly lived in the building that I used to live in New York.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I also had New Kids on the Block who used to live in my building too briefly.
Where'd you live?
I don't know. 53rd and 7th. As I like to call it, my golden prison.
Your golden prison, yeah.
My golden prison. Yeah, I mean, it's so different now, Mahesh. I mean, I am very excited where, you know, where Hollywood is headed. Do you think, Mahesh, this whole thing that I feel that South Asians, Asians, you know, even Latinx, like, yeah. I feel like the conversation about representation in front of the camera, behind the camera, and diversity in Hollywood was really a case that was made by mostly Black artists.
Yeah.
It was really Black artists, like somebody like Spike Lee. I mean, you know, remember Oscar So White? You remember that hashtag Oscar So White? That was like the first wave of like, hey, what's going on here? Like, why is are there no other people of color that are doing work? Yeah. I mean, for God's sake, like, what is going on? And then the second wave of, hey, diversity matters, representation matters. Do you think that we are riding the wave that is created by Black artists? Like,
for sure.
I think we owe a real great deal of gratitude to Black artists in front of the camera and behind the camera, don't you think?
100%. Absolutely. Yeah, there's no question about that.
Yeah, because I think, you know, because Black artists just don't talk about, you know, hey, Black artists, but they say people of color. So people of color includes everyone who is not white, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, and that includes us. Mish, do you, are you working on projects right now that are primarily, are they TV shows, are they films? What are you working on?
I mean, so personal projects are films that I'm working on. Like, I don't think in terms of story, in terms of a TV idea. Just that's such a longer form thing for me. I still think in like that 2-hour format, which I love. And like you said, it's like all character based. So this is just the way I think. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm working on. I have like, you know, 3 different projects that are just all movies. And they all have South Asians in it. That's like the...
Right. Which is beautiful.
Yeah.
Are you gonna fund it out of your pocket, or are you gonna go get some production team?
Oh, hopefully not. No, I mean, this one project that I'm really excited by, I hope it's a timely story. It's about a hate crime that happened, which is based on a true story. So I think it's a timely story. It's a story that I think needs to be told now, and I think we are gonna be able to get people interested. But we're just starting to go out now to like get people involved. So.
Yeah,
but I can't fund it. I can't do that.
I mean, it's so expensive to try to go and fund your own project.
I mean, movies are so expensive.
They're so expensive. Yeah. You know, it's like, what am I gonna like sell my house just to friggin' make this movie? That's ridiculous.
I've been making
Francis Ford Coppola. What am I? Exactly. I said, what am I, Francis Ford Coppola? What am I?
I've made a few like short films recently. Which in just like a way to refresh myself, just to like have fun again. And those are completely no budget. You know, I shoot it myself. So it is going back to me being 12 years old where I just run around with the camera. And that's been really rewarding and fun. But yeah, I couldn't fund like a real production. That would be.
I mean, it's ridiculous what it would cost out of pocket. Harpreet has another question. She says, as a design education practitioner, I'm taking advantage of access to Mahesh's time, so hope it's not annoying.
No, it's not annoying.
Do you have a formula or parameters emerged through experience and that you rely on as a foundation for any new film initiative? Share some of those elements of comfort zone. Harpreet is like channeling Christian Amanpour right now.
Do I have any?
These are like fucking grad school questions, dude.
These are.
Jesus. I think I'm getting a grad degree right after.
I need to get some honorary motor shake.
I'm gonna have a certificate ready for you. I'm gonna write this out.
I don't think I do. Like parameters. Other than something has to move me, right? That's the main thing. I think, and if I'm getting the question, you know, if I'm understanding it correctly, but it's like, you know, Okay, you're popping it back up. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a formula of parameters immersed through experience and that you rely on as a foundation for any new film initiative? Share some of those elements of comfort zone.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll take 500 for comfort zone, please.
No, I don't think there's any like sort of parameters or things that a formula that I use. I mean,
at T-Mobile, we believe in putting people first by treating them right. So we've upped the benefits without upping the price. With Magenta Max, you get our best plan for 5G with unlimited premium data that can't slow down based on how much smartphone data you use. Plus, you'll pay zero cost to switch. And bring your phone. We'll pay it off up to $800. Only at T-Mobile.
Capable device required for 5G. Activate up to 4K or video streams at 480p. 40 gigs high-speed tethering. Up to $800 via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Support charges waived. See details at T-Mobile.com.
We did it again. Verizon was just named America's most reliable network by RootMetrics for the 16th time in a row, proving once again that nobody builds networks like Verizon builds networks. That's why we're building 5G right. That's why there's only one best network, Verizon. Best and most reliable based on RootMetrics reports from second half 2013 to first half 2021 of three operators on all network types combined, not specific to 5G networks.
Like a lot of like things happen for me, like just as far as ideas, things that I read, whether it's, so there's like, well, I guess there's three things, right? There's like books and stories that I read. There's like real life things that happen that I see or read about. And then there's personal experience, right? So those are the three things. And, I don't know. It's whatever story kind of moves me. And it's interesting too. It's like always the thing that you kind of keep coming back to. You know, it takes a long time to make movies or come up with things. And money, you know this. Like, just, you know, it takes years. And so,
yeah.
And I always have like a logbook of ideas and things. And it's always the things that kind of keep coming back to you. You know, even like 5 years later, and it's like, oh, that's still around. That's something I'm still thinking about. And that's so. If there's any formula or parameter, I guess maybe it's that. It's just kind of a, you know,
right.
Kind of what are the things that keep sticking around in your head and get you excited? So,
right. I mean, Maish, are you very big on? Do you consider yourself more of a you know, drama director or a comedy, or it doesn't matter to you?
I feel more drama or dramedy. I mean, I think because definitely, I think with drama you have to have comedy too, right? There's no, if something is dramatic, then you also need comedic moments. So there's a balance between the two. But am I like a broad comedy person? No, definitely not. I don't think I'm cut out for that. But definitely like more drama or dramedy, I think, is where I kind of lay.
Yeah. I mean, Maish, do you feel I think I'm gonna bring it back and ask you, you know, I've had female director friends on you know, the live stream here. And they've told me that some actors give them a hard time. They straight up just give them a hard time because they're female directors.
Yeah.
I had one female director tell me when she showed up, they directed her to the arts and crafts table because they thought that she was the arts and crafts person.
Yeah.
She was like, no, I'm the fucking director. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, that's awful.
Is that something like you as a, you know, South Asian director, do you experience something like that where they're like, oh, we needed some IT help. Yeah, come this way. You're like, I'm not the IT help. I'm the director.
Yes, to an extent. I mean, I don't know if it's as overt as what your other, you know, the other person had experienced, which is awful. But I think you do. I do sense it, like in the beginning, like, oh, who are you? Oh, you're going to be directing this episode. Okay, all right. There's a second of a moment where they have to kind of think about it for a second. And yeah. I do feel that, but it's not that over for me. I've not had any of those experiences, which would be awful.
Right. I mean, it just. I think, you know, I mean, in comedy, I mean, it's pretty much for women. It's kind of everywhere. What about your wife? Has anyone ever, as a director, come home and just be really pissed off about something and be like, I cannot believe?
I mean, she's definitely experienced things that I've never had to experience before.
Such as?
Well, she'd have to tell you these things. but, But yeah, I mean, it's definitely harder for women, I think.
Right.
You know, and again, it's changing, but like you go to a set and it's 90% men who are on the set. You know,
it's dudes. It's just a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of dudes. And that's really hard. Like I, you know, it's one thing to be just a South Asian male coming in where maybe you're different, but I can't imagine being South Asian and a female or black and a female coming into that world. Right. It's going to be doubly hard.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think as female comics, also if you're, you know, a woman of color, female comic, there's this, somehow people just expect you to like represent your entire race. Yeah. And I'm like, I can't represent 1.2 billion people. Like, that's a lot of people to represent. Yeah. Like, you know, like sometimes I've been asked the, you know, oh, well, you know, are all Pakistani women like feisty like you? I don't fucking know. I don't even know all the Pakistani women. Like, why are you asking me this? I don't know, you know. I don't know. Or being or being weirdly like fetishized in a way where you're just like, what?
Yeah. Well,
you know, it's just it's different. I don't know. It's different, Mahesh. It's very different. You know, the documentary that you did on me, which was lovely, and we had such a great time. We went to San Diego and you taped me and we talked about, this is when Trump had just come into power, right?
That's right. Yeah.
This is the Trump tragedy era. You and I, like, I mean, what was fascinating about that, Mahesh, and I think I had mentioned to you my experience when the film was, the doc was being showcased at a certain festival in San Francisco, where I had encountered two, you know, South Asian male comics who couldn't bear, kind of stand the fact that I also had a documentary in addition to them. And they just felt that, you know, somehow my documentary was threatening their documentary.
Yeah,
and which is insane. I mean, one of them, you know, referred to me as a whore to my face while I was there. Tushar Singh. And the other one, fuck that guy. And the other one, you know, was also making, you know, demeaning remarks. I mean, Mahesh, is that something that you've ever experienced in your career, ever, where somebody has just, and it doesn't matter if they're whether of the same race as you or somebody of the opposite race, come and be so overtly disrespectful to your face like that?
No, nothing like that. I mean, that's crazy. It's crazy that you had to experience that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's kind of, you know, it's interesting, you know, that even that we're in America, and even though these are supposed to be like woke guys, that they would behave such way, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what are your thoughts on Priyanka Chopra? Like, Priyanka is here, you know, she's a white tiger. I don't know if you got a chance
to watch it.
Yeah. And I watched it. I thought the lead actor is amazing. I thought the story was fabulous. Yeah. And I think what was amazing was after I watched it, and I was like, wow, this guy, without giving it away, this dude does some horrific things, but you still root for him. That is strange. Like, you're doing, like, they just really hook you into this character. It's a very character-driven project, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that movie. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
For everything you said, you know. And what's interesting about that movie, too, it's directed by Ramin Barani, who's Iranian-American.
That's right.
I mean, he went to college with Arvind Adigat, the writer of the book. So they've been friends for a long time. Even the book is dedicated to Ramin Barani. So they've known each other for a long time. But it's fascinating to watch that movie because it is made with a gaze or a lens, but the material is written by an Indian, and everyone in it is Indian. So there's an interesting marriage that happens. I love the movie. I thought it was great.
Yeah. I mean, not that, you know, I think Priyanka executive produced it. She's in it as well. You know, a lot of people do this thing where they're just like, oh, you know, now Priyanka Chopra is here, so there'll be more doors that will open. You know, there'll be more opportunities. Is that the case, Mahesh?
Wait, that more doors will be open for
South Asian artists?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's and those are the people, whether it's Mindy Kaling or whoever, who's opening up those doors. I mean, it makes it more accepting, right? Mm-hmm. So I do think so. I do think Priyanka Chopra now, she's a brand. She has power. She can get, you know, movies made or TV shows made, and she's earned that. And so, yeah, I think her being able to do that and create more opportunities for other South Asians, I think, and she has, you know, there's a movie on Amazon called Evil Eye.
Yeah. Yeah. And, that's Rajiv and Alon, the Sonic.
Yeah. And so she allowed that opportunity, or she made that opportunity happen too, you know? And so that's opening more doors for other, you know, South Asian artists and creators. So yeah, I think having her in a position of power, more people like her, it's just going to change.
Right.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm always fascinated by, I come across South Asians who just don't like Priyanka Chopra, and it fascinates me. Yeah. I think what fascinates me is, like, you know, whether you love her or hate her, you can't deny the fact that she has put, you know, thisies or South Asians on the map in a very, very big way, because she came with this star power from India, where, you know, something that, Mahesh, that you have been struggling for 20 years, I've been struggling for such a long time, we would never be given that kind of platform. But no, it's only because she came with millions of followers to America that she was even given that level of, you know, like, status.
But it's interesting because she's, you know, a lot of people have tried to do it, right, from India. And she's the first one who's successfully really been able to do it. You know, there really hasn't, you know, there hasn't been anyone else. I mean, I don't know Priyanka's exact, I think she grew up here in the U.S. too, didn't she? I think she was born in India, but she grew up here, she went to high school here, and then she went back.
And then went back, yeah. That's right.
But yeah, but I think, you know, there have been many others who tried, and I think, you know, she was really smart about doing it too. You know, she went on an ABC network show, and she, right, you know, she was in everybody's household, and people were watching her, and, like,
right,
people who didn't know who Priyanka Chopra was all of a sudden knew who she was. And then,
right,
you know, now she's where she is. So.
But I wonder, Mahesh, if this, what Priyanka was trying to do, if she had tried to do that 10 years before,
yeah,
I don't think it would have worked.
I don't think it would have worked. I think the timing was right.
Tried.
Yeah, I think other people tried, and yeah, I don't think they were able to do it.
Because the timing was right, right?
Yes.
It was like, oh, now there's all this conversation about diversity and inclusion. It's just like, okay, who do we have? Who do we have with the star power who can really come in and, you know, do the job? And also, I think her PR machine is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah. But she also, I feel like she even did it before really the conversation about diversity started happening. I feel like that show, Quantico, mm-hmm, kind of came out before. So, yeah, she's like a trailblazer because she was able to do it. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing.
Yeah, I think maybe, you know, I know that Quantico only ran, what, one season?
I don't know. I thought it was a few seasons. I never really watched it, but I think it was a few seasons.
No, Mahesh, you never watched Quantico?
Maybe the pilot. I watched the pilot, but that's it.
What did you think of the pilot?
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. It was good. I liked it for what it was. I liked it. But yeah. It didn't grab me. It didn't keep me, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's interesting, you know. It's interesting. I don't know. I just feel I feel like now, like, Priyanka's a type. So when I see breakdowns sometimes, it's like, we're looking for a Frida Pinto type. We're looking for a Mindy Kaling type. We're looking for a Priyanka Chopra type. So I'm just like, well, I don't fit in any of those.
Yeah. I mean, what's hard now is, I think, because there are so few that have broken out, you know, into, like, sort of the mainstream that yeah, unfortunately, they become like the models of all this, of everybody, for everybody. Right. And that's unfortunate, because, like, there's so many of us who are not in that model, in that mold. And so it'll just take some time. But it's what you were saying. It's like, we're not a monolith. We're, like, individuals. And I think you're seeing it happen too. It's like, I feel like I remember seeing, whether it was, you know, at certain shows, there'd be a character that would have an American name, right? But they would cast, they would have open casting, right? And they would have, maybe it's an Indian actor, but they would still have the American name. And then you're like, well, what are you doing? And then now finally I'm starting to see, oh, it's actually an Indian name, you know? Mm-hmm. So either they've written that and they're casting for Indian, or they've now cast an Indian and they're going to change the name. They're going to change their ethnicity. But, like, so that's happening. It's starting to change. And I think there'll be more opportunities for more South Asians. And when that happens, then it's no longer just, we're looking for Priyanka Chopra and Mindy Kaling. We're looking
for,
you know.
That's right. That's right. Mahesh, would you want your kids to go in this business?
That's a good question. I mean, not necessarily, but you know, I also definitely don't want to be the a parent that is driving them away from anything that they want to do. The thing that's tough in LA, because we live here in LA, is that like they're surrounded by it, and especially with parents that are in it, then that's what they see. So it'll be interesting to see what they like and are want to do. But it's not something that I, off the bat, that I would encourage them to do unless they have a passion for it.
I mean, you exactly. wouldn't, yeah. If your daughter's like, "Hey, I want to be a child actor," like, you know, is that something that you would be like, "Oh my God," you know, no.
I mean, I think unless she is so passionate about it, in which case we'd have to think about it. But it's not something that I would encourage. It's hard. That's a hard. It's a hard life, and it's a hard. I think it's a hard industry in terms of just like self-image and all those kinds of things, and those are things that I worry about. So
I can't imagine as a parent it must be so hard. Like if your kid is like, "Well, I want to be in commercials," and she's like 8 years old, you're like, "I'm not so sure if you should do that right now." You know. Yeah. It's so difficult as adults to take rejection. I can't imagine as a kid what it does to you.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
No. I mean, I've been in therapy for 13 years trying to deal with this shit. You know, for God's sake, this is a, I have to now stock up on weed just to get through it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how much money goes in therapy and weed just to keep this alive right now? A lot of money goes into it, you know? This face ain't going to preserve itself. It's all that weed. It's that weed Botox, baby.
That's what I need now. Oh my goodness.
The weed?
Yeah.
Do you partake?
I don't.
Because of the kids? Because kids are at home?
It's not really anything that I mean, maybe like when I was younger, but not in any recent.
Well, time. I started late.
And that's it. That's
because they were like, when you're young, it kills your brain cells. I'm like, you can't kill something that's not there. Hello. that's not gonna work. Mahesh, we're gonna wrap up, my friend. What's on the agenda? So are they bringing you back for another episode to direct?
We'll see. I mean, so my episode airs tomorrow. So it'll be fun to watch. I think it turned out well. I think they liked it. So
what time is
8 o'clock NBC.
Awesome.
So hopefully I go back for another episode. But then I'm just looking to see, like, hopefully this leads to more opportunities in TV, and then I have some features that I'm really excited by. So I'm hoping that, you know, this year I get to make another one.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. That was really nice. Okay.
Yeah. Harpreet is great. Mahesh, do you like people to follow you on social media at all? Are you a social media person at all? Or?
Sort of. Sure. But I don't, it's not like I'm posting all the time or anything like that.
Yeah. Because you have like shows to direct and movies to make. You know, do you like people to follow you or no pressure if you don't?
No, it's totally fine. Not that I really post that much, other than my kids. So if you want to see my kids, that's the good one.
And where can they follow you on Facebook or where?
Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. I still have a Twitter account.
That's right. You do. I tagged you on Mahesh Palur. Yeah.
Did you? Yeah. See, like I'm still. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I tagged you there, but I understand you don't really use it much. But yeah, I totally tagged you there. I totally tagged you. Mahesh, this was a great conversation, my friend. Thank you very much
for coming on. Good to see you. I'm glad you could.
Man, always great to see you. I am fully vaccinated. Did you get vaccinated yet?
Half.
Yeah. I am fully.
But that's awesome. Congrats. Wait, as of today?
Still a little sore. No, it's been 2 weeks already.
Nice. So you're like in the clear.
I did the Johnson & Johnson one and done, maybe.
One and done. Okay. Yeah. I got our second one in next weekend.
Yeah.
It's great. Like, how do you feel? Do you feel like, not just in terms of like literally, but just in terms of like,
feel like it fly? No,
more freedom. Do you feel?
Yeah, for sure. Way more freedom. I mean, I went up at the Laugh Factory last Saturday.
Oh, wow. Wait, they're doing shows there? I don't even know.
Yeah, but not like inside. It was just for a benefit show for Stop Asian Hate benefit show.
Yeah.
So I was a part of that. Then I did another show at the Comedy Chateau, which is another comedy club in North Hollywood. So yeah, it's just comedians. It's just comedians.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, things are opening up. It's going to happen more.
It's so weird, man. It's so wobbly. Like when you get on stage, you're like, ah.
Yeah. What? Well, it's going to be culture shock. You know.
Yeah. It's so like you just get up there, you're like, I don't know how to do comedy. You know.
I mean, you're used to this now. You know, it's like we're just going to chat over.
Yeah, I'm just like, why can't I do comedy in my pajamas? Like, why do I have to take a shower and show up for this? This is bullshit. You know, you're like just so spoiled. Mahesh, I hope to see you and the kids soon.
I know. It's great. All right, Mona, we will.
All right, my friend.
Almost there.
Thank you very much. Give my love to your kids.
All right.
And the wife. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks. That was a lovely Mahesh Palur. I know you guys enjoyed that conversation. I definitely did. I will be back tomorrow with a brand new guest. You guys, if you haven't subscribed to my YouTube channel, please do. You can go to youtube.com/ Mona Sheikh Comedian. Same for Facebook and for TikTok, although I need to post more on TikTok. And also on Instagram and Twitter at Mona's Comedy. I'll be back tomorrow with a brand new guest. Have a good evening. Thank you very much for tuning in. Have a good night.
At T-Mobile, we believe in putting people first by treating them right. So we've upped the benefits without upping the price. With Magenta Max, you get our best plan for 5G with unlimited premium data that can't slow down based on how much smartphone data you use. Plus, you'll pay zero cost to switch. And bring your phone. We'll pay it off up to $800. Only at T-Mobile.
Capable device required for 5G. Activate up to 4K or video streams at 480p. 40 gigs high-speed tethering. Up to $800 via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Support charges waived. See details at T-Mobile.com.
At T-Mobile, we believe in putting people first by treating them right. So we've upped the benefits without upping the price. With Magenta Max, you get our best plan for 5G with unlimited premium data that can't slow down based on how much smartphone data you use. Plus, you'll pay zero cost to switch. And bring your phone. We'll pay it off up to $800. Only at T-Mobile.
Capable device required for 5G. Activate up to 4K or video streams at 480p. 40 gigs high-speed tethering. Up to $800 via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Support charges waived. See details at T-Mobile.com.